Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the Cannes Film Festival took a decision to send an environmental message. It banned the serving of meat at all its official functions. Of course, that doesn't stop anyone attending to tuck into a steak at the myriad restaurants in Cannes. And it's also curious, given that so many of the attendees would have arrived there on private jets. Is this meaningless virtue signalling? Dr. Darren Clark is an assistant professor in climate and environmental sustainability at DCU. Afternoon, Darren.
Good afternoon, Sean.
It sounds like virtue signalling.
It is virtue signalling by all intents and purposes. It's a form of greenwashing. Cannes in itself is an interesting example of a lot of wealth flying into an event. Cannes is an interesting case study because Cannes has imposed a 20 euro registration fee for an environmental contribution for participants. But more than 90% of all of the greenhouse gas emissions for Cannes on their website, actually, they have done an assessment of where their emissions come from, and they come from people flying in to the event itself. So really, the likes of the foods, the reduction in meat consumption that they're suggesting on their menus, accommodation, transport within Cannes itself, event organizing, communications, human resources, that accounts for less than 10% of the entire greenhouse gas emissions of the Cannes Film Festival itself. And what is most interesting, if you've had a look at their website, they then talk about how they are reducing those less than 10% emissions by rolling out paper printouts for the festival, reducing the size of the red carpet, and one of the other things was the catering that you talked about, single-use plastics being eliminated, goodie bags focusing on local and European products for their guests. And yet, if you have a look at the finer details of the website and you look at the main sponsors for the event, they include the likes of Air France, BMW, JP Morgan, which either are directly contributing to climate change or are big financiers of climate change companies as well.
Yeah. So that's on the face of it then, Darren, that sounds nakedly cynical.
It is. I mean, it's a form of virtue signaling, greenwashing. They're not alone, I mean, in doing this. This happens pretty much a lot of organizations that are jumping on the environmental agenda at the minute are engaged in virtue signaling or greenwashing. So on the face of it, it's a token gesture because it's 9% of their entire emissions are kind of, if you want to call it, in-house, and 91% come from the participants that attend the event that typically fly in and out on their private jets, which are significantly a significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions and to climate change.
And so one imagines then that this is where you can get the sense, if you just absorb the marketing, that so many parts of the corporate world have taken on board the environmental message and they're doing something about it. But a lot of this is this kind of guff. How widespread is this, do you think?
Very widespread. There are studies out there to show that there are a lot of companies greenwashing. And unfortunately, consumers, the likes of you and I, mightn't be that well versed to see if someone is greenwashing or a company is greenwashing their climate credentials. You might think of some of the most sustainable companies, but by and large, you can say a large proportion or a lot of companies, given the nature of the activities that they operate within. If you look at the likes of fossil fuel companies trying to promote themselves as being more sustainable, aviation companies, car companies, all trying to promote themselves as more sustainable. Certainly, they might be more sustainable in the last couple of years compared to previous years where they're moving to, for example, if we talk about cars, moving to electric car production. Aviation fuels or aviation companies don't have that same Luxury aviation fuels are by and large fossil fuels, sustainable aviation fuels. A lot of aviation companies or airlines are promoting the use of sustainable aviation fuels and saying they will reduce their emissions and so on. But it is nowhere near where it needs to be. And these are the biggest companies in the world that are the primary emitters of greenhouse gases, or at least if they're not the primary emitters, they are we have no choice but to choose these companies in the products we buy because they have a monopoly effectively largely on the market.
Yeah, but a lot of international events, the Rugby World Cup sponsored by a fossil fuel company, presumably they have a choice as to who can sponsor these kinds of events.
Absolutely. The organisers of these events have huge control over who they will let effectively sponsor events like these. And we had, I mean, you think of the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup in France last year. You think of a similar but not identical issue in the World Cup, in the Football World Cup, where it was sports washing around human rights issues in Qatar. And there are choices. There are absolutely choices. And you can choose organizations that are running these events have the choice to choose between companies that are genuinely committed to climate change, sustainability more generally, and those that are the likes of, when I had a look at the website this morning for Cannes and I saw Air France, BMW and JP Morgan, I lost faith in the process of how these organizations are selected, and the sustainability credentials that Cannes seems to promote so widely on its website.
Yeah, it would strike me, it has, for say something like Cannes, it has a knock-on effect for all these artists and filmmakers and people with, you know, integrity, blah, blah. They're leaned on a little bit to not really point that out or to say anything about it, because you don't want to annoy the organisers of the Cannes Film Festival, because it's important to your career that you be shown there or get an award there. Therefore, you let all this greenwashing take place around you.
Yes, but in large part, it's the likes of the people that are flying in and out to these events, the people that are high profile, that are the problem in the first instance. I mean, if 90% of the greenhouse gas emissions associated with Cannes is coming from those kind of people that are flying in and out to the festival, maybe they don't want to make a big song and dance about it. But at the same time, they are the problem in the first instance, because they're coming in on the private jets, which are, I mean, by nature, private jets are incredibly inefficient, incredibly harmful to the climate. They can be up to 20 times more polluting from a climate change perspective than, say, even a commercial airline. The fact that there's so many of them coming into Cannes, and the fact that they're so frequently used by these celebrities and these people, these high profile people. I mean, the real solution is to tax them largely out of existence. And there are calls for I don't mean tax celebrities out of existence, but I mean tax the
not a bad idea.
Yeah, perhaps tax the private jets out of existence. The fact that it exists, it just shows the huge impacts they have on the climate. And there are calls for jets, private jets in particular, to be banned or certainly taxed, where if you do decide to use them, that they reflect the true costs on the environment. And right now they don't, because aviation fuels are heavily subsidized, and we don't really take aviation emissions into account to a large extent in the greenhouse gas emissions and how we calculate greenhouse gas emissions for climate, because of the fact that it's transnational and it's hard to decide which country has responsibility for which of the greenhouse gas emissions from aviation when it's between, for example, Europe and the States, for example. But my argument would absolutely be to significantly tax these private jets that are coming in and out and make it prohibitively expensive, that they really have to question whether they're doing the right thing for their pocket and for the climate.
Let me just read out one text to you, Darren. This is a person says, given that 99% of people don't care about or don't realise the scale of the climate emergency, can we really do anything to prevent climate catastrophe? Or is it already too late?
It's not too late. It's never too late. We're already, as a person that teaches about climate change, we're already in a fairly serious situation when it comes to the climate. We have record-breaking temperatures right across the world right now, but every single tenth of a degree makes a difference. So the difference between 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer and 1.6 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial times is the difference between potentially tens of thousands of more deaths globally because of climate change. So it absolutely does make a difference, the 99% argument. People, I think, do actually care about climate change. They're just probably a little bit lost as to how they can go about impacting and having an impact on climate change. And one of the things I often teach, or I do teach my students, is that individual actions are really important. The likes of not flying, or at least reducing your flights on an annual basis, would go a long way to that. Some of the most effective ways are to, it's not popular, particularly in Ireland, are to reduce your meat and dairy consumption, which is what CAN is promoting. Flying less is another thing we can do. But ultimately, the big thing that we can actually do to influence climate and to influence what happens is voting for politicians that have a genuine interest in climate. And we have the opportunity in about 2 weeks' time or 2.5 weeks' time to vote for either politicians that do care or politicians that maybe don't care as much about climate and the environment. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference for that listener's children or grandchildren that will grow up in a world where they don't have the same opportunities as we currently have.
Darren, thanks so much for talking to us today. That's Dr. Darren Clark, their Assistant Professor in Climate and Environmental Sustainability in DCU. A few texts on that. What climate people that talk about wind energy? The windmills are made in China and they burn coal to make them. Well, it's not just wind energy, obviously, that we're trying to employ as various alternative forms of energy. But anyway, that's not the point. What point are you making? Is the point you're making that because they use coal to make, and I don't know, I've no way of verifying right now whether that's actually true or not. Is the point you're making that we should just give up and let the planet burn? Because, and let millions of people die, just because there's a point of principle, you know, you've caught people out in a little contradiction there. Darren says, great to hear a climate activist talking about Cannes when they have a summit. They fly all over the world, says Darren. Yes, indeed, people do, and maybe they should have those things online. Someone else says, totally agree. I find it so annoying. Businessmen, celebrities and sports stars fly around the world in private jets. And they boast about it all the time. If you look at Beyonce or the Kardashians, most of the photos they post on their Instagram feeds are on private jets. We need to start calling this out. Another texter says, so what if Cannes is greenwashing? We all need to reduce meat by 90% as per Lancet support, and not only for environmental, but for health reasons. Someone else says, I saw a spokesperson from Cannes on the news the other night. He said they were doing this to protect the world for the future.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.